Reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be in the days of the Son of Man. They were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Similarly, as it was in the days of Lot, they were eating, drinking, buying, selling, planting, building. On the day that Lot left Sodom, fire and brimstone rained down from the sky to destroy them all. So will it be on the day the Son of Man is revealed. On that day, someone who was up on the housetop, whose belongings are in the house, must not go down to get them. Likewise, one in the field must not return to what was left behind. Remember the wife of Lot. Whoever seeks to preserve his life will lose it, but whoever loses it will save it. I tell you, on that night, there will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, the other left. There will be two women grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other left." Then they said to him in reply, "We are Lord." He said to them, "Where the body is, there will the vultures gather." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
After a gospel reading like that, all you really want to say is, "Wow, you've got my attention, Lord. It should get our attention." Yesterday, we focused on Jesus' words that the kingdom of God is not going to be some spectacle. Voici or voilà, there it is, here it is. Because it's already among us. But what we have to get good at, we have to get good at finding it. Because all that we see meant to be signs of that kingdom, the growth that's occurring, supposed to be like a farm growing at night. It's a little bit of leaven, like a mustard seed, that we have to receive like a treasure, as a child does, with conversion and poverty of spirit. The very end of this is one of the sayings in sacred scripture that a lot of people just have no idea of what Jesus is saying. "We're Lord." And he says, "Where the body is, there also the vultures will gather." What does that mean? It means that wherever there's a body, there are vultures. The vultures find the body. And we, like a vulture, have got to find the kingdom. Because everything around is meant to be an image pointing us to that kingdom. Everything good points to the one who is the source of goodness. That's what today's first reading is about. That God wants us, from the good things seen, to come to know Him who is. To enter into the kingdom of the King, to discern the artisan from studying the works. He goes through a whole list of cosmological signs: fire, wind, swift air, circuits of the stars, mighty water, luminaries of heaven, governors of the world that others considered gods. All of these aren't supposed to be breaks where we stop there and deify them. They were all supposed to be fingerprints of God, vestigia Dei, footprints, we could say, that are meant to lead us to trace those footprints to the Lord Himself. For from the greatness and the beauty of created things, Book of Wisdom teaches us. Their original author, by analogy, is seen. Are we gathered there like vultures at a body? Do we say the heavens proclaim the glory of God, or when we look to the heavens, do we focus more on whether it's going to rain tomorrow? Does day pour out words today? It's what happens. Speak to us. Does night impart knowledge? To the ends of the earth, through all the earth, do we hear a message or a sound? That's what God wants. And this is what he's calling us to in his kingdom. St. Augustine, in a beautiful, in the most beautiful paragraph he ever wrote, that perhaps any human being has ever written, "Late have I loved thee, O beauty ever ancient, ever new. Late have I loved thee," book 10 of his Confessions. He says, prior to his conversion, he was lost in the beauty of created things. Rather than being led by that beauty to the beauty with a capital B, he deified them. He stayed there. So often we can do the same. We recognize, we fail to recognize and revere Christ, to get back to our opening prayer, in the little blessings that he gives us. We stop at the gift rather than go to the giver. St. John Paul II, at the end of his papacy, published three poems called Roman Triptych. The first of the three poems was called The Stream, and had two parts to it. First part was Wonder, second part was called The Source. And in The Source, he says in beautiful poetic language that, you know, when we're hiking in the mountains and we see this little trickle of water sort of flowing on down, we can follow that trickle, and we should follow that trickle. And we begin to recognize that it goes all the way up to the source. It might be snow-capped at the top of the mountain, but there is a source. That in everything, we should be going from what we observe with any one of our senses to the God of goodness who has given us every good thing. Is this what we do? The beginning of today's gospel, Jesus is describing that at the day of judgment, it's going to come to us quickly, and that many are going to get caught off guard. Just like they didn't see the storm brewing or hearing God's word at the time of Noah. Just like they were not reading the signs of the times either at the time of Lot, Sodom and Gomorrah. So many will be caught off guard because they're regularly not doing this. They're being lost in the details rather than in the author. And so he wants to make us aware, to see that the kingdom is already among us, and to live in that kingdom rather than be distracted thinking that the created world points somewhere other than the kingdom. And he says these images at the end. There will be two people in one bed. One will be taken, one will be left. Another woman working with Sister Pietà in the kitchen, grinding meal together. One will be taken, the other left. What does he mean? Not that God's going to be up there flipping coins and arbitrarily making decisions with regard to heaven or hell. What it means is that one will be alert, the other will not. When two people are up on a roof, one's going to want to go back and save stuff rather than look ahead. Are we alert? Are we alert even right now to what the Lord is doing? Do we pay attention to November and really focus on the fact that we too will die? And are we really striving that people will remember us on November 1st, November 2nd? Big decision there. We're happy that they pray for us on November 2nd, but don't we want to be there when the saints come marching in? Are we ready? Are we following the stream to its source? Are we, through the beauties of every day, going to the source of truth, good, and beauty himself? Or do we just stay at a horizontal plane? And let me manipulate Jesus' image a little bit, if you don't mind. This image of two people in one bed is an image of marriage. We don't want one to be taken and one to be left behind. We want two to be taken. So obviously spouses have to help each other to be alert to the sign pointing to the signified. Similarly, two friends working in a kitchen need to help each other, even through things like preparing food, to go from that food to the one who never ceases to hear our prayer to give us each day our daily bread, wants to feed us with an ever greater nourishment. We've got to help each other to awaken to these deeper realities. We have to help each other because the Lord puts us in twos and more precisely so that we can help each other and be helped by the other. Today the church celebrates somebody who enfleshed these lessons. As the saints always do, they're the living commentaries on the Word of God. St. Elizabeth of Hungary was able to see the kingdom all around her. She was able to see what was truly valuable. And it wasn't the crown she wore on her head. It wasn't Warburg Castle where she lived. The real treasure, as St. Lawrence had discovered 1,000 years before her, was God and the way God dwelled in others. So she really had her priorities straight. She prayed. She cared for those made in the Lord's image because she recognized she wasn't staring at a mere mortal. That even though this person were poor, the person was a reminder to her of the one who was so poor he didn't have a place to be born or buried. And she cared. It's kind of amazing the things that she did. They would be amazing today, but I think that they were even more amazing during feudal times. She used to go and care for all the poor herself and would prioritize those who were the most repellent. She built a hospital at the bottom of the mountain on which her castle was built so that people wouldn't have to climb. She fed them from her own table. She sacrificed so much of the royal money, not to mention her own, to be able to care for them. There's a famous scene told by her spiritual director. The time she had met a leper, and because of the poverty of the surroundings, the leper would never be able to have a bed with the other poor people because he was contagious. So they needed a place where he would be able, more or less, to be quarantined for a while. So St. Elizabeth said, "I have the place." And she brought him to the master bedroom in the castle. And then her husband came on in, and he was flabbergasted. I mean, he more or less supported her charity, but this was insanity for him. And he was about to tell the leper to leave the castle when he recognized the leper had stigmata. She was able to recognize and revere Christ even in the leper. And because she was able to see the Lord, she was able to love the Lord, even in the most foul of circumstances. So she teaches us today, and we pray specifically for that grace, that just as the Lord helped her to recognize and revere him in others, and to find him in his kingdom in ordinary things, so we might be similarly impassioned And the greatest practice we have to be able to see the Lord everywhere happens here. So often we sleepwalk through Mass, sisters. Happens too for priests. We do it every day. You know, for me, I not just at the words of consecration, but at the Ecce Agnus Dei, for me, is just like, you get a chance to hold God in your hands. God in your hands. God in your hands. And you behold the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sins of the world. I have the chance to hold the Creator of the universe in my hands, and then the extraordinary joy to be able to give you God. There's one sister of light who's always impressed me, because she receives the Lord with a smile that would be able to light every skyscraper in Manhattan. A real sign that she recognizes whom she's recognizing. There's no routine there. Smile changes a little bit every day. Obviously, the priest given Holy Communion is the only one who can see it. But the Lord sees it because she sees Him. And the more we get used to being able to find and revere God in this disguise, we will be able to rip off the wrapping paper for every other gift with which He is going to bombard us today on a perpetual Christmas. This is our faith. Let's go like vultures.